fun. Good morning. How's everyone today? That was a really pretty moment. I loved that. That was all just singing together, no music, anything for a little bit, and then Chad coming back in to say, that was a really pretty moment. Yeah, that was incredible. So I'd like for us to do just three things this morning. Go through the welcome practice as it's written in the Citywell Covenant, then talk a little bit about the text that we have for this morning. And then the thing that I'm most excited about, hear from Sandy Velez and Rachel Campbell this morning on this practice of worship. So if things go well, I'll talk very little and they'll get to talk very much, and that will bless all of our lives. So first, our practice of welcome. Does everyone have this sheet in front of them? Yeah? Okay. We'll try read it together. I'm not super good at reading or at pacing with people reading with me, but we'll give it our best shot. So welcoming, learning to live with open lives. Here we go. God welcomes all of us unconditionally in Jesus. In response, we covenant to grow in our welcome of God's reign in our lives, to learn how to welcome each other in ways that honor and value our differences, while remaining open to being changed by one another, and to welcome people who are not yet part of this church family. Let's pray. Gracious God, we thank you for this day, the opportunity to come together, that welcome starts with you. Because it starts with you, because it starts with Christ, the door is always open to the possibility of welcome, whatever the situation is. There is hope, because welcome begins with you. So please anoint our conversations this morning. Please anoint our time together. And thank you for this chance to be here and worship you. Amen. All right, so our text is a short one. It's from Jeremiah 29, and I'm going to read verses 1, and then let's do 4 through 7. All right, so verse 1. These are the words of the letter that Jeremiah the prophet sent from Jerusalem to the surviving elders of the exiles and to the priests, the prophets, and all the people whom Nebuchadnezzar had taken into exile from Jerusalem to Babylon. Skipping down to verse 4. Thus says the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, to all the exiles whom I have sent into exile from Jerusalem to Babylon, build houses and live in them. So the first part, just keep the doors open. Take wives and have sons and daughters. Take wives for your sons and give your daughters in marriage, that they may bear sons and daughters. Multiply there and do not decrease. But seek the welfare of the city where I have sent you into exile and pray to the Lord on its behalf. For in its welfare, you will find your own welfare. So let's just talk briefly about this text. So someone who's read a little bit more about these stories, why is it a big deal that the people of Israel are in Babylon? Why does that matter? What's going on here? Someone help me out, and audience participation would be greatly appreciated. Why does it matter they're in Babylon? Yeah, is that a good thing? Like in Genesis 1, are you going, I hope my people are in captivity because that would be super great? All right, so captivity, bad thing. Why else is it a big deal that they're in Babylon? It is not their home. And yet they're told to build homes and build families and work and do all this. That's super odd. Anything else that y'all are cooking on for why this is a big deal that they might be and that they're in Babylon? Yeah, what the heck? Like, they're supposed to be in Jerusalem. That's the city of promise. Like, there's the temple. That's where the action's happening. Right? So do y'all see how this is a really big deal? And God doesn't say, like, well, one day, maybe then you can open the doors to how I'd love you. Maybe one day, then you could open the doors to great relationships. Maybe one day, then you could press more deeply into relationship with me and each other and in service. He's like, here, in exile, there's the possibility to welcome a new way of being in relationship with me and being in relationship with each other. That is a real, like, he doesn't say one day this could be possible. Right, today is the best possible day to open the doors and move into deeper relationship with people. And my hunch is if you are in the room this morning, which should include all of us, this idea of welcome is something you're already cooking on. Right? Like, we have really good art on the walls from someone who's in our congregation. We didn't go somewhere else to get good art. We got good art here, and we prominently put it on display. We did our first two worship songs in Spanish because it's really important that folks for whom English isn't your first language get to feel at home here. Like the sign on the door says, welcome. Gloria and Cleve are co-pastors, not like Cleve's 50% and Gloria's 50%, like both 100% pastor of this church. That is the most dysfunctional model of leadership, right? Like you don't get co-presidents. You don't. There's no co-pope. Dunder Mifflin, they tried Michael and Jim, and that was a terrible mess, right? Like it just, but for the sake of being a place where people can come and feel at home, that's what we do. So my hunch is that if you're here this morning, welcome is something that you're already cooking on. And so for the rest of this sermon or teaching time, then rather than me reading more texts that prove an idea you're already tracking with or that try to convince you of something you already believe, I'd love for us to hear from Rachel Campbell and Sandy Velez about a relationship model they're engaged in called Circles. They've been in this prison ministry circle for quite a while, and I think they're hilarious to begin with, so that'll be fun. But they've been really intentional about how do we press deeper, how do we welcome each other more deeply into those bruised, vulnerable, or even joyful celebratory places in our lives. Right? So that's why it's incredibly important that we would hear from them. And then two disclaimers before they come up. First, please don't think these are the only folks at CityWall engaging in really intentional practices of welcome. I just happen to know their story better because I work with Aaron, and Aaron tells me all the time about how beautiful the circle is. Right, so that's the first thing. And the second thing is what they're going to share is descriptive, not prescriptive. So please don't think, oh my gosh, I haven't been doing this, so Jesus doesn't love me. No. This is to give you a glimpse on a really effective way they've been in relationship with each other. So they're going to describe what they're doing. This isn't meant to be do this or don't come back to CityWall. Does that make sense? Like hopefully this should be a blessing to you and an encouragement for the way that they've welcomed each other into their lives and the way that that circle has been a blessing to them. So that being said, let's give Rachel and Sandy a hand as they come forward. You can have, yeah. This is going to be fun. I hope y'all are excited. I gave y'all a whole week to prepare, too, so we'll see what happens. Yeah. Thanks, Jesse.
Hello.
There you are. Hola. Here you go, Sandy.
Hola.
Yeah,
hola.
You get your own mic, right?
Wow, got my own, my very own.
Okay, so a few questions prepared for y'all. So what I'd love for you to do, and you can play off each other for this first question, is just tell us about, so assume that we've never heard this word circle before as far as a relationship model, and then maybe share a little bit about what your prison ministry circle has looked like, please.
So I'll do the basic rules of how it works.
Okay.
So I'm sure all of you can imagine a circle and a talking piece because you've all probably heard of Lord of the Flies, but it's not like that. So the idea of it is originally from the indigenous peoples of American Indian and Maori peoples and other peoples. And originally it was sort of around the campfire and they would use the circle to process out problems in the tribe or restorative justice practices where things were going wrong. And so using those basic principles, we don't have a restorative justice process, but we're using the same technique to get into deeper relationship together. And there are some basic rules. So rather than it just be a circle with a talking piece, the first thing you have to do is actually create a space that's safe for everyone to feel like they can share openly and vulnerably. So as you get together and you sit in a circle, you have to put into the center of the circle the value that you need to feel safe to share what you would like to say. So for some people, it will be confidentiality or honesty or non-judgmentalism. So you all put in those values, and then you have to confirm that you share those values. And that's a really important part of starting to set the circle. The other part about it is that you have to be free to get to know each other in an organic way before you expect that kind of level of trust. So a lot of the time when you're starting a circle is about setting the circle and just becoming relational. So you might talk about things like, where would you like to go on holiday? Or tell us about someone significant in your life. To sort of set the circle, you can't expect people to suddenly dive in and be trusting about their inner heart until they kind of know each other a little bit. And then you have a talking piece. And the talking piece is really important because it's not that you can just grab the talking piece and we respect who's talking. The piece always goes around and around and around. So I love that part about it because it means that everyone is invited to speak over and over and over again. And it means that one of our circles said one time they really like the talking piece because it means that as a talker and someone who's often got things they want to share, they don't feel stressed that when am I going to share my clever thought. They know it's going to come back round to them and they can kind of relax. It's really, really relaxing, isn't it, compared to kind of feeling stressed about when you're going to say your bit. But what I like about it also is that those of us who don't like to share easily are constantly invited. It's like a poultice, and they eventually start saying things, and it's fantastic. So as other people are brave and vulnerable, they become brave and vulnerable. So that's really important. And then when you've got the talking piece, it's all about your response. It's not about intellectualizing anything or responding to what Sandy just said. It's simply me processing out my garbled thoughts about what I'm sort of thinking, but, yeah, no, that didn't really make sense. Yeah, so anyway, and then you pass it. So you're processing together and learning from each other how each other thinks. So they're the basic real rules of the talking piece. And you start with a prayer. Because it's a Christian group, we start with a prayer. Obviously, other groups would start with different ceremonies. So we always start with the Lord's Prayer and end with the Lord's Prayer. And in that time, obviously, it's organic. So it's not about a leader. So it's about what the group wants to talk about. So the group might want to process what we just heard in the sermon last week. It might want to process what happened. We've had nights where we've suddenly just talked about the events of the week politically, or we might just talk about a text or the Lord's Prayer. So it changes each week what we talk about. Does that make sense?
Yeah. I'll just add to that. As we pass the stick, it gives you the opportunity to share or not. You don't have to. You know. And when we do... when we begin and everyone contributes as to what is important to them for that buy-in, right, to build that foundation of trust, everyone will identify what matters. What matters to you? Is it confidentiality? Is it trust? Is it commitment? So everyone will identify, and we slowly begin that fellowship of love that allows that safe space to open up.
That's awesome. So the first question for you, Sandy, specifically, what have circles meant to you? I like ambiguous questions that leave lots of play, so yeah.
My heart is racing. My heart is racing this moment because the circle has so deepened my relationship with God. And it did that through my brothers and sisters in the circle. My family, Milton, Aaron, the Campbells. I mean, it allowed me to bear all and find a safe space to just be honest, to cry, to laugh, to share and celebrate, to anguish. And through time, not feel judged, you know, that trust, that level. And then something happened. Something happened that as months went by and we got closer, I began to see my brothers and sisters differently. There was the magic. The presence of the Holy Spirit working in us. So what does this circle mean to me? It's brought me closer to my Heavenly Father. And it's teaching me to continue to love better.
So, Rachel, part of the statement on welcome is that we welcome God's reign in our lives. One of the ways I know that this is important for you is that focus on covenant versus contract relationships. Can you say more about this idea of covenant versus contract, why it's so central for you?
Well, it's really a question for Douglas, but I can handle it. covenant God's covenant with me is about the fact that he loved me completely and utterly and totally before I had any recognition of my own need for him or need to repent about anything or even want to know him at all. So in that sense, my understanding of covenant is that I can't do anything at all to please or earn more love. It simply is what it is. I think about when I had a great conversion moment at the age of sort of 17, 18, and I was really messy, which is funny. And I went into the church and I said to my pastor at the time, because I'd grown up affiliated with that church, and he was an accountant in a previous day, and he said, I went up to him at the end of the service and said, I want to become one of your statistics. And I had this incredible sense that he was all about how many people he converted. And I had this amazing sense of starting fresh, that I could start over, that all the mess and the depression and the confusion of my teenage years could be put aside. And yet, as I grew as a Christian and intellectualized my faith, I could start to think of it as a contract. And over time, I've had to unlearn those contractual ideas and realize that as much as he loved me that day, and I didn't even know him, is as much as he still loves me today, whether I do well or do badly. And I think in our circle, we endeavor to allow that kind of utterly committed, non-contractual relationship with each other to anyone who walks into our home. And we have more realistic expectations of just doing life together. And so we're processing out the mess that we are, and we know that we're fully loved. I know that everyone who comes in is as fully loved as I am, and even more loved than I can understand, and that we try and extend that to whoever wants to come through our front door. So that's how I understand it. Messes and all. That's just, it's just more realistic. Does that make sense?
Yeah, thank you. Did you want to add to that, Sandy? Okay. Yeah, so how has this prison ministry circle for you, Sandy, challenged you to welcome other folks in the group in ways that honor differences while opening you to being changed by the folks in that group? And I know you've talked about this a little bit, but yeah.
Well, so I've taken the circle into the prisons, particularly, well, prison, at Butner, at the Men's Federal Prison. And so, bless you.
And Butner, sorry, is this going to be folks from all over the nation? Because it's a federal prison?
It's a federal prison.
Okay.
Yeah. And my circle at the Low, which is one of the there are five campuses, so I've taken it to two of the campuses and just am starting a third at the camp. So, but where I first started was at the FCI 2, at the Deuce. And so here we have, in this circle, white, black, Latino, young, old, from embezzlers to predators, child predators to, I mean, name it, to drug dealers, okay? And that in this circle, that at first there was hesitation and skepticism, but through the months of slowly fostering that safe space and learning to fellowship with one another and building a bond with that unexpected friend or Sally, they began to share and open up to bear all, where we cry together, laugh together, celebrate each other's joys together. And the presence of the Lord is so strong. And we can love each other. And I will share with you because it's a testimony. I was sexually abused for many years as a child by an uncle. And to sit in front of a predator and have the circle there, and to tell him I love you, my brother. To see our brokenness, all of us, and the struggle of life, of living. That's where the love and the power of the Holy Spirit comes in. That's where the circles provide that invitation that brings healing to us. And it's beautiful.
What so this isn't on the questions I sent y'all. What does it look like to be prayerful about these circles? Because I can't imagine you just show up one day and be like, well, I'm ready to share my junk. Like, I would imagine there's a fair amount of prayer and contemplation and rest and solitude. Like, does that sound at all? Like, how do you even get ready to be in a circle in that type of intentional relationship?
I don't think that there's any of that.
No.
Isn't that terrible? I think that what happens is you get together and you become safe together, and then you show Christ to each other, and you just start to air your dirty laundry. It just starts to come out. The bravery of each person in that room and the things that I've heard said at different times, and I've just gone, wow, that's so honest. But the circle can hold it. It's one of Douglas's favorite phrases, and it's really a beautiful thing. But it's like, if you told me personally this really quite difficult or shaming or painful thing, I might not know what to handle, how to handle it, because I might feel the need to respond to it. But what's so amazing about the circle over other groups I've been in is it's simply, it's out there and the circle holds it. It just is. So we don't come into it intentionally prayerful to think, tonight I'm going to tell them about my blah, blah, blah. We just have prompts and questions, and it organically moves around how it's going to go. And as Douglas said, I should mention, of course, sometimes it's a complete fizzer. It's not always great and deep, and you know, sometimes it's like, let's just have a cup of tea and go home. Or Henry always just wants to play Catan, just saying that. But you know, other times, beautiful things come to the surface, and it's just completely spontaneous. But Jesus is there, and he can handle it. And then if somebody's really broken or shares something really deep, we can all just break and pray for that person. So we don't actually go in. Do you go into it really prayerfully? I don't go into it really prayerfully.
Truly, what I do go in is trust. Just like I tell a lot of the volunteers when they go to the prison, whether it's to share a message or do a reentry workshop, we should prepare, especially a reentry workshop, right? We're going to facilitate a lesson. But trust in the Holy Spirit that he is in control. This is very difficult to do, you know. But it's so liberating, because when you do take that step in faith, that's where you'll meet him.
So. It's an invitation to be vulnerable and to let the Lord touch you in whatever way he wants to with whatever we're talking about. And what happens is that you don't plan it and you don't have an answer when you start talking. And lots of times you're just processing. I mean, I have heard the F-bomb from time to time. I'm not pointing fingers, and it's certainly never me. But people are really processing out. And it's not just a therapy group. They're processing out what the Lord's doing in their life or where the Lord's touching them. And it's safe. But that's why we also have to say in some ways that the circle was open, but it's also closed, because you can't drop in and out of that space comfortably. Mm-hmm. So there's definitely times when we have had people leave and, you know, all things happen in life. And then we love to have new members, but it has to also be something that's a safe place that we have commitment to, because you can't be vulnerable like that and then feel like, oh my goodness, nobody's here this week. Or do they hate what I said last week? You know, we're really there for each other.
Yeah, thank you for saying it's really important. And it's once the circle is closed, then we respect, because it's very hard if new people are just going to be coming in for you to open yourself up as you're getting to know each other, and this is a stranger. And so the way that, you know, through the weeks and the months of building that trust is in that safety net that's built around the circle.
So there's not necessarily like real rules in terms of what you can share, but it's like once you've committed to going deep with each other, once you've committed to this practice of welcoming, like, you got to be all in, or it's just not going to work.
Kind of.
Okay.
Yeah, it doesn't work to drop in and out.
Right. All right, well, just one more question for the both of you. How has the love of Christ you've experienced in this circle and from the people outside, from the people of the circle empowered you to be a welcoming presence outside of the city well walls and outside of your circle?
Oh, well, I really liked the passage that we were reading before because it was about being a foreigner, being in exile. And I mean, obviously, I'm not in exile of a difficult place, but we're in exile in the sense that we're away from our family and from our land. And I thought, gosh, it's so appropriate because this circle is utterly family to us. Because you turn up for each other and you're there for each other, the bravery and the vulnerability of everybody who chooses to share and chooses to come and come into my home. You know, I love to open my home. I want people to feel like they can just go into the kitchen and make a cup of tea. And, you know, there's lots of coming and going and getting up and sitting down. It's not really formal. And I love to be able to share my home like that. That means a lot to me. And we've had spaces in our lives when we haven't had a group because normal Bible study groups don't work so well for me. People tend to intellectualize. I tend to shut down and think, well, everyone just really wants to hear what Douglas has got to say, which is completely reasonable because I want to hear that too. So I'm not going to say anything because probably what I'll say will be a little bit wrong and I might get a little bit of an eyebrow because my theology was off. So this is what I love about it is that it's just perfect because we're just processing who we are and what we're thinking. So that safety has been great. And then going outside of the circle, because I feel like I have a base and a family that I've We crave connection. We're wired for connection. So I have that sense of family that gives me more confidence outside. But also even practicing the circle has given me confidence to take that practice other places. So like we've been doing it a little bit in Texas with correctional officers and putting them in circles and having them process out their work as correctional officers. I would never have the confidence to do something like that unless we had built up the confidence of being in that space and trusting that this could happen and that could be safe and that I would learn so much about people who are entirely different than myself just by coming to understand them and listen to them. It opens our eyes to people other than ourselves. So I wish that more of us in Citywell could do it who are different than each other so that we're constantly processing out what your journey is like, what's your experiences. For an example, because you wanted me to give examples, we did the Lord's Prayer, and Douglas had this idea, the Lord's Prayer would be great, we'll do one line a week. And it was really powerful. I think you've been doing it inside, and that's been great. But the first week, the first question was, Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Oh, what does that mean to you? Oh, my word, can of worms. It was phenomenal. It sort of went on for weeks in a way. I don't know if I've ever really gotten over that question, because it exposed so much of how we understand God, how we process God, what our history is, the pain that some people have about the idea of a Father God, but we talked about it on a personal level that was really meaningful and important, much more than an intellectual level. So now I've really gone on a long time. I don't even know what the question was, but there's some thoughts.
Thank you. Sandy?
I just want to say that the circle has. I have shared here that in Citywell I see glimpses of the kingdom. There's young, old, black, white, Latino, Asian. I mean, I see glimpses of the kingdom in the circles. We're not all just a Latino circle, or just a black circle, or you know, or just a young circle. And in that is where, you know, we see that all people matter to God. And we begin to understand, you know, each other's plight. All I would end this with Psalm 34:8 that says, taste and see. blessed is the one who takes refuge in him. And that's what the circle does for us. And it's just beautiful. So, you know, I'm learning to truly honor my Lord and bear all, like David, sing and dance.
Thank you so much, Rachel and Sandy. just one last closing note then. There's the passage in Revelation 3 where Jesus says, I stand at the door and knock. My hope this morning is that you got a glimpse in terms of how Jesus doesn't just want to like enter into the front, like your entryway, but like he wants to go into the basement, into the attic. And if there's a relationship in which you're struggling, Jesus wants to be in that place. He wants you to open all of the doors that he can come in and there can be healing throughout. Not just like getting people into a really wonderful Sunday morning service, or not just getting into a well gathering where you can say hi each week, but you can press deeply to the places where Jesus wants to be Lord, healer, redeemer of every part of your life, and that we could be those agents of change and redemption, salvation in the world. Let us pray. Lord, thank you that you first made yourself vulnerable, that you first welcomed us, that this word of love, welcome, rescue, that it begins, is sustained by, and ends with you. Thank you for how you are constantly drawing us deeper, that you love us exactly where we are, and yet you continue to press for more and more until all things, as it would say in Colossians, until all things are reconciled to you. Bless the rest of this day. May we be people who are filled with your love to the point that we welcome each other and welcome the rest of the world to your glory and grace. Amen. These chairs. I'll take one.
Hi, my name is Melvin. I was an intern at CityWorld back in 2014 and 15. In this period of time, God challenged me to work with people from different backgrounds and to learn that even though our stories are totally different, we share good things in common. Our struggles and our past